entitled it, "That I May Know Him." How many of you want to know Jesus better? That's pretty much all of us. I think all of us, we desire that, we want that. But did you know, have you ever considered that those who go through deep trials get to know Him probably at a deeper level than those who don't? So then I might ask again. How many of you want to get to know Jesus better? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been going through the Beatitudes. Part of this getting to know Jesus better is learning what He said and what He did. So we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, starting with Matthew chapter 5. And what I would like for us to do, well, last week we talked about our purpose. Our purpose is to share Christ. You know, every one of us have a purpose, and some people want to know, what is God's purpose for me? What is God's purpose for me? Well, He said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so the part of that peacemaking is bringing people into the kingdom of God. So we're going to pull up the passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12 this morning. And what I'm going to read the blessed portion, and I want you to read the reward portion. Okay? So you will start with, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and then the next verse, and so on. Okay? So let's stand together as we read this, and I want you to read it like you mean it. Read it like you're wanting it to really to sink down into your heart. Okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. So I'm going to read verses 10. 11 and 12, actually 10, the same thing. I'm going to read verse 11 and I want you to join me on verse 12. This is the new section that we're going to be looking at today. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Larry, I'm going to ask if you would lead us in prayer and pray for me as I present this today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Larry. I want to call your attention to a couple of things. One is, it seems like the bar gets higher and higher. By each one of these Beatitudes, it seems like the bar gets a little higher and higher and higher. And it's almost like the Lord is preparing us for Olympians. Okay? And so, in our Christian struggle, in our Christian life, not everything is hunky-dory. Okay? And tonight, when we go through the God Zone, part of that I'm going to be teaching you is how to face life circumstances, how to face life trials and be victorious. Okay? But this morning, Jesus never set a bar He did not reach. Okay? He is the gold medalist. If there's anyone who suffered and was victorious, it was Jesus. He set the bar for us. And so he's just kind of telling us, he's kind of letting us know that what was in store for him may also be in store for us. He's kind of preparing us for what may come. This is not in the overhead, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Doesn't that just make you want to yell hallelujah? Those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Everybody's thinking, yikes. I didn't know that was in the... I don't know that that's what I signed up for. We see it in our country. Now, there are people who are standing for the godly things, standing for righteousness, and many of them are being persecuted for their stand. There is a progression in the greater and greater maturity. As you begin with these Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. They realize they have a spiritual need. Blessed are the mourners. They're sorrowful over sin. Blessed are the meek. They repent and come under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You remember the meekness is under power, under control. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. They see the needs of others and help meet those needs. Blessed are the pure in heart. They're cleansing their heart through repentance. There's a sanctification process that's taking place. They're getting their heart pure before the Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're bringing people to Christ. And today, blessed are the persecuted. They're the ones who endure hardships to serve Christ. Maybe abuse through words. Maybe abuse through speech. Harsh treatment, at sometimes even martyrdom. The second thing I want you to notice is that as you progress in your maturity, the rewards also become greater. Okay? Who do you think is going to get the greatest reward? A child of God who never endures hardship, or one who is martyred for Christ? That's correct. That is correct. Matter of fact, this passage of Scripture, great are your rewards. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Have you ever been persecuted for your Christian faith? Did you rejoice in that? Scripture says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are you. Persecution and blessed just doesn't sound like it ought to go in the same sentence. Does it? That just does not compute in our brains. But he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. An odd statement, for sure. Happier are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So how can a person be happier when they're persecuted for righteousness' sake than caving in to the ideology of the masses? Because in our day, that's what we're being asked to do, is to embrace the ideology of the culture in which we live. And if we don't, then there's something wrong with us. Okay? Here's my thoughts on it. I don't know that I have the complete answer, but here's my thoughts. If the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you begin to compromise your convictions, regardless of the consequences, then you're going to be a miserable dude. Or dudette. You know, I've read stories of people who were threatened with life if they did not renounce their Christian faith. If you don't renounce Jesus, then we're going to kill you. And I've heard of some who said, I renounce that. And then a few days later say, I recant what I renounced. Because there's something inside that does not allow a Christian to compromise their convictions and be at peace. And so if you want to be happier, you're going to be happier if you stand on your convictions, even when it may cause problems for you. Now, it's not a fun thing. It didn't say you're going to have fun doing it. Okay? But there's something about the Holy Spirit within you that not only gives you the ability and gives you the power to face whatever circumstance comes your way, but there's also the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like the Father loving on you. I'm happy with you. I'm happy with you. And there's this witness of the Holy Spirit in you, and there's nothing that can take the place of that. Happy are you when men revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Happier are you, for great is your reward in heaven. Jesus did it. Scripture says that He despised the cross, endured the shame because of the glory that was set before Him. He knew what was to come. And He endured because He knew what was to come. And I want to tell you, some of you are going through some difficult times in your life right now. Maybe it's not persecution, but you're having to endure right now. And that's all. It's kind of like you got to wake up in the morning and that's all you can do is just endure. Because this season in your life is not happy. It's not good. And so you wake up tomorrow and you say, I'm just going to endure today. I'm going to endure today. I'm going to endure today. That's kind of what Jesus did. He endured the cross because He knew what was to come. And I want to tell you, for those of you who are enduring, there's something better to come. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep serving the Lord. Keep living a righteous life. When people say evil things to you, bless them. Don't curse them. Embrace them. Love them. Because there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. Rejoice and be exceeding glad because there's a better day coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a better day coming. Tell them like you believe it. There's a better day coming. And you need to rejoice in that because there's a better day coming. This week, if you see somebody down, one of your fellow believers, a brother, a sister in Christ, tell them, there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. Rejoice and be exceeding glad because there's a better day coming. And not only is there a better day coming, but greater are you the rewards in heaven? You're going to get some greater rewards in heaven for those who crumble under the conflict. Okay? Don't look at today. Look at the future. Okay? We need to live for something bigger than ourselves. A lot of people are just living for themselves, but we need to live for something bigger than ourselves. Someone told me this week that there was a coworker who she works with who's probably the most miserable person she's ever seen. I don't know if that's exact words, but she's a very miserable person. And she grew up in a very affluent family, this coworker did, and has been given her everything that money could buy. But she is a very miserable person. And so this person gave the coworker a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. Are you familiar with that? And later on, she asked this coworker, said, "How far did you get in the book?" She said, "The first sentence." And the first sentence is, "It's not about you." It's not about you. I tell you what, if you're living for you, you're going to be a miserable person. Because not everybody else is living for you. Get a clue. And if you think the world revolves around you, you're going to be very miserable indeed. But if you begin to put your life and begin to live your life for someone greater than you, Jesus Christ, then you're going to be a very happy, blessed person indeed. Even when difficulties come, if you're living to please Him, you're going to be blessed. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Did you know as you go through this life, there are people that God allows you to come in paths with who really want to know the hope that you have? There are people who want to know the Jesus you have. Whenever you go through difficulties and you continue to praise the Lord, even during the difficulties, as long and your eyes are on Him, people are wondering, what in the world do they have that I don't? And we can share the love of Jesus with them. But I want you to know that not everybody wants to hear about Jesus. Okay? Not everybody wants to hear. They make Christians out to be the bad guys. They discredit them, and when Christians come on the scene, they cry, "Foul!" when conviction takes place. And it's easier to take Christians to court and persecute them or lie about them than to listen to the Spirit speak to their heart. But I want you to hear this. Just because some people want here does not give us an excuse not to share. Okay? Let me say that again. Just because there are some people who want here and may get angry, that does not give us an excuse not to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Okay? The truth is, not everybody is going to hear. I want to show you a short video. Actually, this is a trailer to a movie, so you can go, yeah, right? the arrow there. That's Yogo. It's a short, just a trailer, about 6 minutes long. But this is about a fella who had to endure persecution. Turn it up a little bit, sir.
Pizza? Pizza, no?
On February 29th, 1948, a pastor was kidnapped from the streets of Romania. He would disappear for 14 years and endure horrific torture for his refusal to renounce Christ. And in the midst of this suffering, he witnessed the incredible power of Christ's love.
After being arrested, I spent the next 3 years in a solitary cell. It was enough to drive any man mad. The martyr Savonarola wrote, "There are those who believe in God, and those who, just as sincerely, believe that they believe." Now I had to ask myself, did I believe in God?
But we are persecuted but not abandoned. So please do not abandon us.
My wife Sabina had also been arrested.
Deschide ușa! Sabina Gurbran!
My son Mihai. Left orphan. Sabina would spend the next 18 months in a slave labor camp on the Danube.
Sabina! Sabina!
In these my darkest hours, my only hope was in prayer. Of course, in prison, prayer was forbidden. In spite of the beatings, I prayed every day. I prayed God would give me strength to endure. And of course, I prayed for my family. Feet were beaten so often and so brutally, I would never walk normally again. I'm sorry if a crocodile eats a man, but I cannot reproach the crocodile. I had learned the same can be said of my torturers. Communism had stripped them of any form of humanity. And only God's love could restore them.
Iar te rogi, mă! Iar te rogi! Ești împit!
Băiatul tău nu mai are casă, nevastă ta e arestată. Viața ta e distrusă, mă, băiatule, și tu te rogi în continuare la Dumnezeul al tău care nici măcar n-are chip. Pentru ce căcat te mai rogi, mă? Pentru ce te mai rogi tu acum?
Mă rugam pentru tine. I hate the sin, but never the sinner. And some we even won to Christ.
This is not one of those hoo-hoo kind of sermons. But I want to ask you a question. Is there any convictions that you hold that you're willing to die for? And I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know that I could even answer that till I face it. I think I am. I think I have those convictions. I asked a deacon in the previous church if there was any convictions he had that he was willing to die for. He said, no, none. There should be some things that we should hold dear to our heart. And our relationship with Jesus Christ should be first and foremost. There has been torture and torment in other countries for years and years and years. Still, I've got a pastor friend in the Portland area named John Brisk. He's from Romania. And he had, when he was doing his seminary education, they had to do it in caves and holes in the ground to keep from being discovered. I was reading a book by Brother Yoon, and they in China, their seminary experience is learning to escape from jail. They teach you how to escape from jail. And they also teach you how to jump out of a second-story window without getting hurt. That's part of their seminary education. We can't even imagine that in the United States. Can't even imagine it. But many of these people face that kind of persecution on a daily basis. Paul said, I die daily. Basically saying, you know what? If today I'm martyred for Christ, I'm good with that. We will probably never in our lifetime have to face that. Maybe some of the children. But Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So I want to ask you another question. Do you hold any convictions that you're willing to live for? Because that's what Paul is asking us, that you be a living sacrifice. What convictions do you hold that you're willing to live for? On a day-to-day basis, when you're out in the world, when you're confronting worldly individuals, in your workplace, in school, wherever you might be, what convictions do you hold that you're willing to live for? Do you have any? I think for us, that's probably the most prominent question. Every morning, we wake up and we say, as Paul did, I'm not living for myself. I'm living for Jesus. Today, I will be a living sacrifice. So the question is, will you daily put yourself on the altar of sacrifice and allow Jesus Christ to live through you and in you? Some of you may be here today. This is not a feel-good message. This is a thought-provoking message about where are you? And as your pastor, I want to encourage you, as Jesus did, to raise the bar a little bit higher. Go for the gold. You're not living for yourself. There's someone bigger, better, and more important than you. And when you pass from this life, if all you have is what you've worked for here on earth to accumulate, then you're not going to have very much when you get to heaven. Father, I come before you today. And oftentimes we don't know, probably there's not a time that we know where we are and our confidence in you and our faith in you until we go under times of duress. And Lord, if there's ever a time when we have to face persecution as this individual did, we saw on the video screen, I pray that we would face it with as much faith as he did. Lord, as we've worked through the Beatitudes, Lord, even today there may be some fear that has arisen in the lives of some here today. And you're revealing some things that need to be removed from their lives. Lord, give us a pure heart because we want to see you. Lord, today perhaps there may be someone here who's never truly put their faith in you, never come to a place where you are first place in their life, never put you as Lord in their life, and I prayed it today. They would say, you know what? Whatever comes, I'm living for someone greater than myself. I'm going to live for Jesus. And so, Father, we bring this before you and ask that you would do in our hearts what only you can do. Transform us to be more like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.